Okay, praise God. So, before we go too far, let me just say this. This is a summary. This is what we're going to be saying. This is the obvious that we're going to be repeating, that we all need to prayerfully read our Bible every day. It's going to be very short. It's going to be very simple. Hang on. Let's make sure we can keep it short. A little timer there. Amen. Don't very much shorter than Pastor Ben, okay? It's going to be very simple, easily understood, and there is nothing I will be saying that you haven't heard before. See, the theme is restating the obvious. There is nothing I will be saying that is not obvious, right? So if you hear anything that is strange, maybe you dropped off for a few seconds there, but, you know, just try and stay with me. But anyway, if I do lose you, you already have a summary there. This is what we're talking about. And the whole idea is to get us all to have a higher view of the scriptures, to elevate in our minds and hearts the place of the scriptures in our lives as believers. I say all of us because there's never a time when scripture has too high a position in our lives. Because it is the word of God. It is the word of God. If God were to make an epiphany, just, you know, sorry, not epiphany, a theophany, and just appear here in some form and speak to us directly in an audible voice, you know, like at the baptism of Christ, when that voice spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved son." If that were to happen right now, we would pay attention. Right? Nobody would fall asleep. We might be terrified, but we'd pay attention. This is how we are to approach the word of God. Because we are humans. What we can know of God is limited. So God reveals himself to us. And he does that with the Bible. You know, it is God's autobiography in a sense. It is God's revelation of himself to us. And in it is contained all we need to know about God. The Bible, it's inspired, it's inerrant, it's infallible, it is without, think about the Bible for a minute, you know, it's a diverse collection of books, isn't it? 66 different books, you know, more than 40 different authors written over hundreds and hundreds of years in different languages, there are different literary genres, but it all comes together to tell one unified story about the person and work of Christ. It is in itself, by its existence, a miracle. It's not a thing to be ignored. Anyway, we're restating the obvious, and this is why. Of course, we're talking about reading the Bible, knowing the Bible. This is not a class on how to interpret or and so on and so forth. Those are, of course, extremely important topics, but today is just about the importance of the Word of God. You see, I'm not talking about, I don't know, coming to church and hearing a sermon or reading a devotional every day. Those are, of course, very good things. But if you want to see what I mean, yeah, try this experiment when you have the time. Go on the SoundCloud, download one of the messages, you know. Maybe get one of Pastor Ben's messages from 3 years ago. And, you know, listen to it. Listen to it twice in a row. Yeah, just listen to it beginning to end. Go back to the beginning, listen again. Do that every day for 5 to 6 days. And okay, I won't even tell you take notes or whatever, but what I want to say is you will be amazed if you do that. You will be amazed at how much of it you missed the first time. So when you come here, yes, you will get something. You know, the pastor is coming here, he's delivering the word of God with, you know, full of faith and power. You're going to hear it, you're going to understand some things, you're going to get some things, but very often we retain very little. In fact, from week to week, we might completely even forget what was said the previous week. It is important for us to have a consistent familiarity with the Word of God for ourselves. Amen. Amen. I mentioned the devotionals. The problem with the devotionals is not the devotionals itself. It's once again us. The same way we're not really listening optimally. We're not doing the devotional because the devotional will have like a text of scripture and then some comments and stuff. And most of the time we just dash through the text and focus on the comments. So we never really get familiar with the text. But the text is what is infallible. The commentary is not. The preacher is not. And you alone, are ultimately responsible for what you believe and understand of God's word. There is no unbeliever on Judgment Day that will walk up to the gates of heaven. Let's imagine, you know, there's gates there and an angel with a flaming sword. And then he walks up and says, well, I believe the gospel they preached to me is not my fault that it was the wrong gospel. So let me in. And then the angel says, oh yeah, it wasn't your fault, you know, or you didn't even hear the gospel at all, so please come in. No, that's not how it works. There is one way, one truth, one life. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're talking about the importance of being personally familiar with the text of Scripture, of knowing it and knowing it well. Amen. Amen. It's obvious, isn't it? It's what we're Christians. We love the Lord. We want to know as much as possible about Him, build a relationship with Him. Well, He's told us how to do it. He's given us the Word. So it's obvious that this is something we should be heavily invested in. But I'm going to restate it anyway, even though it's obvious. Why? I'm taking a leaf out of Peter's book. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. Amen. This doesn't contradict Hebrews, by the way, which says by the time when ye ought to be teachers, that's a different story. But this is saying, you have some truth. You already know it. You're established in it. But I need to remind you about it. I will remind you about it. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body. Meaning, as long as I'm physically alive here with you guys, I will continue to say the same thing over and over again. However obvious it might be, you already know it, you are established in it, but I will continue to say it over and over again. We're talking about being familiar with the text of Scripture, getting to know God's Word. And so our primary activity will be reading the Word of God, and that's what we're going to be doing throughout this session, just reading the Word. Amen. I know, because I know that I will soon put it aside. So Peter knows he's about to die. Remember, Jesus told him before he ascended, and this guy has been serving Christ all those years with that knowledge. And as the day grows closer and closer, he does not waver, he does not shake. We know the story of Peter. But he says, I know I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. You see that? I've had this experience with fellow believers. I've thought and said the same thing myself where we're in a church. You know, this usually happens when you're young, right? Like when you're in your teens. And the pastor is taking a series on something. And it's been going on for like 12 weeks, the same thing. Yeah, let's hear something else. What's this guy talking about? The thing being, though, the thing you are hearing, you are not even established in it, but you want to move on to something else. No, even what you're already established in needs to be repeated. I got a quote here. This is from, I won't say my favorite theologian, but this is a living theologian. Meaning, you know, this is not one of the fathers or anything. This guy is still alive. He's a professor somewhere in the States. And the bit I want to pick out here is where he says, if we don't continually state the obvious, one day it will no longer be obvious. And that is the problem. Amen. Should I tell you a short joke, right? I don't know if it's a true story, but it's a joke I heard where this young man, you know, goes to dinner at the home of this elderly couple. And throughout the meal, stop me if you've heard this before, throughout the meal, the man keeps referring to his wife as honey and darling and whatnot. And at some point, she got up and went into the kitchen to fetch more food. And the young man says to the old guy, wow, I'm so impressed. After all these years, you know, you guys are in your 90s, you've been married for so long, you're still so affectionate. See how you still refer to her with pet names. And this guy hangs his head in silence and says, I'm sorry, Mike. I completely forgot her name 10 years ago. Now, that is the sort of thing that can happen to us when we take for granted things in the scriptures. Amen. I mean, there are some things that, you know, maybe not so important, but good to know. Like when Pastor Jimmy asked, what was the longest chapter in the Bible? You know, she asked that question, and my mind immediately went to, which is the shortest? I knew it was in Psalms, so I was thinking, which Psalm is it? And I realized, you know, these were things when, you know, when we were kids and we get prizes for knowing these things, we really knew them. Amen. If I asked, I don't know if Audrey would remember this. Audrey got it right many years ago. I asked for people to list the names of the 12 apostles. Yeah. You used to know it, though. Amen. Now, I'm not saying that's the sort of content we're after. That's just an example of how something can be so obvious. You know, we can get so familiar with something that we start to ignore it and overlook it. Right, I've substituted this for the Psalm 119 text because it's a bit more familiar and a bit shorter. But let's look through this. So what we're talking about is the importance of knowing God's word and the importance of repeating what we know and repeatedly being told of how important it is to know God's word. Now, this is a little bit about why, you know, sort of the benefit of this. Be strong and very courageous. So this is Moses, the servant of God. You know, Moses is kind of unique in the Bible. He's in a class all his own. He's not your average prophet, as it were. To the point that when he gave a prophecy about Christ, he said, a prophet like me will the Lord your God raise up for you. Christ is a prophet like unto Moses. Okay. Moses, of course, mediator of the old covenant. Awesome guy, Moses. A proof of the life transforming, the transformative power of God's word. Because Moses, we know he started out, well, not started out, but as a young man, he was a bit violent, wasn't he? Murdered that Egyptian guy. Yeah. And he was too impatient to dispose of the body properly. But by the time he died, the Bible says he was meek above all men upon the face of the earth. Now, that's what the power of God can do in a person. Don't ever go around saying people don't change. Yeah, people can't change by their own power. But the Bible teaches us, Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, says, verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We can be transformed. Every day we are being transformed into the image of Christ as we gaze at this truth that it is. You see, the word of God is not just something to be understood intellectually. Yes, it is, because it's rational and it makes sense, and we're supposed to understand it and think through it. But as we are doing that, the word has power to transform us. The Bible says that the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. It's a critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart of man. Well, here's Moses saying to Joshua, be careful to obey all the law. Well, this is God saying to Joshua, sorry. All the law my servant Moses gave you. Now, when you see the word law, so in the Old Testament, when you see the word law, don't think commandments. Most of us hear law and we think 10 commandments. And people talk about law versus grace. It's an unfortunate quirk of the translation that this is what that word has come to mean. Law has a wide range of meanings. Sometimes they say law, and it's just referring, and this you'll find a lot in the New Testament, it's just referring to the first five books of the Bible. That is the law. Or Moses, they just say Moses. Moses said, meaning it's in those first five books. But law means teaching, instruction. So it comes under that same umbrella, doesn't it? The commands, the statutes, the warnings, the admonitions of the Lord, all comes under that one word, law. Now, do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. So God's got that roadmap for success in what Joshua has been called to do. Let's be careful here right from the outset. This is not a general promise of success. You cannot go and set up some unethical business somewhere and think that there's a principle in the Bible that will make it successful. There was a guy on TV once. He had built a brothel in Las Vegas. And he said when he started, he dedicated the whole enterprise to God and made that promise that if God would prosper him, he would give a tenth. You know, like Jacob, who promised to give God a tenth, then went and swindled his father-in-law and all that. Anyway, and this guy was extremely successful, and he attributed it all to God. And he wasn't taking the meek. He was being very sincere about it. Yeah, I'm sure you've seen some of the stories about armed robbers and kidnappers that come to church to pay their tithes and give their testimony. Anyway, that's not what this is about. God has a plan he's laid out for Joshua. God has a path he's laid out for Joshua. And to succeed in that path, to succeed in the plan of God, this is what is necessary, not to deviate from his word. If we look carefully at that, right? It says, this book of the law shall not depart, or I'm quoting now instead of reading. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. So, you see, it's a repetition of the first thing. But he's giving him more clues now on how to do it. You see, by keeping, it doesn't jump from keep this book of the law on your lips. It doesn't jump from that to you will be prosperous and successful. It goes from that to you will be careful to do everything in it. It is the doing of everything in it that is defined as a prosperity and success. Because everything in it is what God has commanded you to do. How to do it is not by your own willpower, friends. It's not by striving and straining and struggling to do your best. It is by relying on God. You see, the word of God transforms us. On our own, there's very little we can do. On our own, we can't really obey God. The flesh lusts or wars against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. On our own, if we just leave it to the flesh is an enemy of God. It is not subject. The carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. Romans 8. What we need is a different mind, a different mindset, the Messiah mindset, a renewed mindset. That comes from this, right? Keeping the book of the law on our lips, meditating on it day and night. See, the importance of actually studying the word, of learning God's word, of knowing God's word. Amen. How are we doing for time? Oh, dear. Praise God. Okay. Let's carry on then. Right. This is a quote from Corrie ten Boom. And this is an important one. Don't worry about what you do not understand in the Bible. Worry about what you do understand, but do not live by. That is where to focus. As Kenneth Hagin puts it, you walk in the light that you have. You know, you have light in some area. Walk in it. Right? Don't be grasping for light in other areas. There is no other area. Amen. Let me say this. Let me give a quote from somewhere. It says that the believer ought to preach the gospel to himself daily. You know, in the hearing of the gospel is where faith is born. The Bible says in Romans 10, speaking of our salvation, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Right? I just wanted to, you know, make a little statement about that. That very often we think about the gospel as something you give to the unbeliever so that they can believe and then they become a believer, and then they don't need the gospel anymore. Now they need something higher, something bigger. Tell you what, the gospel is the superset, not the subset. Within the gospel is revealed the righteousness of God from faith to faith. The gospel, according to Romans 1:16, is God's ability to save. This is where the salvation of God is revealed, in the gospel. the believer needs the gospel as much, perhaps more than the unbeliever, because the unbeliever may have the choice of believing or not believing, but you're already a believer. So now the gospel compels you. That was an imperative, right? That was not a request. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night. I don't think I need to explain what that means. Pastor Ben's done that a number of times. Okay, yeah, we do need to hear it again. But let's move on. Praise God. What we do understand, what we do know, what we have learned, the same things, let us walk therein. Amen. Paul says it, Peter says it, Corrie ten Boom says it. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. It's the same theme. Do what it says. That's instruction to Joshua. That's instruction to us. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone, now here's key, someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. You see that? You look in the mirror, you turn around, you can't remember if the makeup was smudged, what color the eyeshadow was. Wait, eyeshadow is always black, right? I don't know. But, you know, you don't keep that photographic memory. You go back and look again in the mirror. Well, it says, whoever looks intensely into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Again, I have to point out that what they are doing is what is contained in the law of liberty, and that is what they are blessed in. Right? When they are doing what is not in the law of liberty, there is no guarantee of a... Okay. I think that is obvious. Well, we restate it anyway. But here's the thing. The flesh, we say, wars against the spirit, right? We by nature, by our normal human nature, we do not want to do what the law requires. We do not want to do what God commands. That's why God had to write a book. However, there is hope. Because here he talks about someone who looks intensely into the perfect law and continues in it. We're starting to see a theme here. This theme of intensive, intentional approach to the Word of God and consistency, continuing in it. Why? Because that is how the transformation happens. You see, it's not a once and for all thing. Right? We think about our salvation, for example, in three, I don't want to say phases, let's say three types, right? One is that you are saved, and you know you're saved. You have experienced regeneration. You have been justified. That has happened in the past. It happens once. There's something else that will happen just once. It's glorification in the resurrection. You'll receive a new glorious body like the body of the Lord Jesus Christ that is immortal, will not die. That's a second thing, the redemption of our bodies. That will happen once and for all, but it's still in the future. But between the two, there's this thing that is also called salvation, which is an ongoing thing. One of the big words we used to refer to it in Christianity is the word sanctification. It's our walk with God. And it's not something we are doing by our own power. It's something on which we rely on the Holy Spirit day in, day out to produce in us his own fruits of love and joy and peace and so on, right? So it is an ongoing process. Being transformed into the image of Christ is not a once and for all thing. It is an ongoing process. Being conformed to the image of Christ is an ongoing process. Our minds are being renewed daily. It's not a once and for all thing. In fact, because we live in a world that is antithetical to the gospel, every day, we are being pushed back by the world. The world is trying to draw us into their mindset, trying to draw us into that carnal mind that is the enemy of God. So that in that sense, and you know, not trying to make it sound more difficult than it is, but in that sense, we are engaged in a battle. It's an uphill struggle. Such that when we're standing still, when we're not moving forward, I should say rather, we're never standing still. If we're not forging ahead in Christ, we're being rolled back by the world. You don't just stand still, is what I'm saying. We have to be forging ahead, renewing our minds with the word of God. Amen. It may be sounding like I'm asking a lot. But really, let's think about it. If this is the most important thing to us, if we are seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, if God is above all to us, if he's before all to us, then of course we put him before all things. Amen. I try to summarize it at the start by saying we prayerfully read our Bible every day. Let me repeat that now as we go on. It is where we start from, you know. It's not where we end up, but it's where we start from. We get better at it. Let's just move on. This, right? This is to show that I've not been fanatical enough in what I've been saying. Pardon the negative word. This is Moses now talking to the Israelites. See what he tells them. Now, remember, these are people in a dire situation. They've just come out of slavery. They're in the desert. These people don't really know God. They've been living in slavery for a long time. They don't have the scriptures because Moses hasn't written them yet. These people are not in the best situation. Hear what Moses says to them. Now he's given them verbal instructions, and then he says, "Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds." This speaks not only of priority, of importance, but also, and you know, we're not going to make too many bones about this, but this is also about memorization. Because these guys don't have copies of it, they've got to memorize it, and that's fix it in your minds. And that may not seem super important for us these days because, you know, we've got the phones and the Word of God is always there in our language, in many translations, any language, you know, anytime you need it. So that's great and that's grand. Of course, there are times when, you know, your phone's dead or you're in a meeting or something. Okay, you know what I mean? It's still good to have the Word of God rule our memory, to be the thing that our mind turns to automatically. In different, many different situations. Well, it says, fix them on your hearts and minds. Now, look at how serious Moses gets. Look at how fanatical he gets about it. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children. This is not instructions for pastors or people in seminary. This is instructions to the congregation, to you and me. Even children. Moses is talking about the children. Huh. You know, let me say this to the parents, grandparents. It is our job to teach our children the Word of God. Amen. It's not the job of a Sunday school. Sunday school is great and they will learn a lot there. But it has to be reinforced at home. Why am I saying this? Paul was talking to Timothy, 2 Timothy 1. He says about Timothy's faith, meaning his belief system, his worldview, his obedience to the gospel, that it first lived in his grandmother Lois and in his mother Eunice. We see that. He says Timothy, from a very early age, from early childhood, had known the scriptures. He'd been taught the scriptures from right when he was a child. Okay, we know Timothy's mom was a Jew. His dad was a Gentile. We don't know if his dad was a believer. But his grandma and his mom taught him the scriptures. And now here he is working with the Apostle Paul, God's chosen man to take the gospel to the Gentiles. This is our job. I wrote, people, they're not too young, you know? We could bring Joseph up here to quote a memory verse and give us some exposition, and he wouldn't do too bad a job. I think mom's probably been I'm doing a good job there. You see what I mean? Let's never think they're too young. Most of us here, there are memory verses we learned when we were 4 years old that we still remember. Yeah, this thing stays with them. Anyway, that was a digression. Teach your children talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your hand, of your houses, and on your gates. Now, this is not just about fashion or decorating the house. This is a level of intensity that can only be described as an obsession. You need to be obsessed with the Word of God. I mean, it is not enough to just, even if you are listening to messages all day, right? Even if you are listening to, let's call them third-party things. Even if you are listening to messages all day, there's a point where you have to know the Word of God for yourself. It is not enough to know a person that knows God. We must know God ourselves. We must have a relationship with Him. And it is built through the Word. It is through knowledge of the truth that we build a relationship with God. True Bible readers never find it wearisome. They like it least who know it least. And they love it most who read it most. That's Spurgeon, Prince of Preachers. Now, here's the thing about this quote I want us to take to heart. Not the negative idea, not thinking, oh, I don't like reading so much, so that's a black mark against me. It is they love it most who read it most. That's what I want you to focus on. Because it adds up. The testimony I hear over and over again, I've read from scholars, men of God, contemporaries, children, is how in their journey of getting to know God's word, it was difficult at the start. There was one guy I was teaching a Bible course. He was talking about how when he first became a Christian, you know, after a couple of years, he decided to get serious. And he started reading from, I think it was John or one of the Gospels. And he would read 10 minutes a day. He would read 10 minutes, think about what he read. And he would do that consistently every day. He read through John without much of a difference. He was not enjoying it. He wasn't having a great time. He wasn't really seeing any gains or benefits. He started again. John. He did the same thing about four times before things started to make sense to him. What am I saying? I'm talking about the Word of God transforming us, renewing our minds, about us giving it the attention it deserves with the intensity it deserves. What I'm saying is that do not expect to see overnight gains. You may. That happens for some people. Let's put that in the column marked miraculous. Right? The same way, Lazarus was in a pit for 4 days and the Lord Jesus came and said, Lazarus, come forth. And he came forth. Right? I tell you what, there are a lot of people in pits around there that didn't come forth. That was something special, something different. We call it a miracle. What is the normal thing? What is the normal expectation? The dead stay dead until the resurrection. That is the normal expectation. And that is the normal expectation with our journey through the Bible as well. That we are being transformed. It may not be very quick to us. It may not seem quick. It may seem as if we are bashing our head against the wall. But if we persevere, over time, we will start to see the changes. Pick any Christian, anybody who's been a serious Christian for 20, 30 years. They will tell you the same thing. There was a time when they thought they were not making any progress. But they only persevere till now because they persevered back then. They kept going. And sometimes it's hard. Remember, your whole flesh is rebelling against this thing. Your body, your mind, the world around you, everything is screaming at you, no. Amen. The only one thing you have going for you is that is the Lord's imperative to study this thing, to become obsessed with it, to the point where it rules the mind and rules the heart. Amen. Don't worry, we're almost completely done now. Right. This is the last slide. Praise God. Oh, yeah, there's another slide. I was going to offer some unsolicited advice, but let's go through this first. Yet, you must go on steadily in all those things that you have learned and which you know are true. Go on steadily, right? Don't be discouraged. Okay, let me say, sometimes you'll be discouraged. Don't give up. It's probably the right thing to say. Don't give up. Carry on. Consistency is key, really. And if you find you can't be consistent, don't beat yourself up too much. Just try again. Amen. If you said, okay, I'm going to get up in the morning, read the Bible for 10 minutes, just read the text for 10 minutes and think about it every morning, and then you do it for two mornings, and then third morning, fourth, fifth, sixth, don't just start again. You know, don't just give up because, okay. Amen. Remember from what sort of people your knowledge has come and how from early childhood your mind has been familiar with the Holy Scriptures. Ah, that's a text I was referring to earlier. Which can open the mind to the salvation which comes through believing in Christ Jesus. Now, here's where I'm going. I should have had that in bold. All Scripture. Can someone say all Scripture? Yeah, that's all of it. All Scripture is inspired by God. Inspire does not mean inspire like, you know, an artist is inspired to do a beautiful painting. No, it means this is God-breathed. This is given by God. And is useful. Now, this is the J.B. Phillips version, so it might be different from what you have. It is useful, where is it now? For teaching the faith and correcting error. We're looking at what the Scripture is useful for. This is basically a summary of the why we're, you know, so concerned about getting familiar with the text of Scripture, not straying beyond what is written. All Scripture, so I've got to find that again now. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching the faith and correcting error, for resetting the direction of a man's life and training him in good living. The Scriptures are the comprehensive equipment of the man of God and fit him fully for all branches of his work. Not playing down other spiritual disciplines, right? But think about it. When Moses was giving the instructions, when God was talking to Joshua, when Paul was talking to Timothy, this was the thing they focused on. The Scriptures. The Scriptures. I know we like things that we can do because we want to feel we are contributing. Right? We like things. We want to pray and fast. Right? I want to grow spiritually. So the way to do that is to go on a 7-day prayer and fasting retreat. We like to do things like that because we think we can cross that threshold of performing that sort of thing and then God miraculously appears and does something. If you want to go on a 7-day prayer and fasting retreat, I can only recommend it. That is great. But you can only do that so often, right? You can't do that back to back, for example. After 3 times, you'd be dead. So, this is the thing that you can do consistently, day in, day out. This, let's look at that again. It is the comprehensive equipment of the man of God and fits him fully for all branches of his work. We want to serve God. We want to know God. This is the thing to do, to be focused on his word. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You see, there's a priority there. There's a thing there to be focused on. That is the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is what is being revealed to us in the text of Scriptures. Amen. Let's just skip this section. I got no more advice to give. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your goodness to us in giving us your word. I pray, Heavenly Father, that today, even though the speaking may have ended, the hearing will continue. That as we live here, we will have a higher view of your word. We will elevate to a higher place in your lives, in our lives, your written word. will become familiar with it, and we will rejoice at the transformation that results. We trust in your power, Lord, to help us stay the course, that we might not waver, that we might not falter, that we might not give up, but that we might continue to press forward in Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name.